As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And my command is this: love each other just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I have commanded you. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command: love each other. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege to gather together this morning, for your presence among us. And Lord, we exalt and honor you this morning, and we thank you that through your word, you speak powerfully to us. And we thank you for your word given to us under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may know you, and we may live in a way that honors you. So Father, speak to your word, through your living word to us this morning. Then we leave here today, Lord, we leave here refreshed because we have been in your presence once again. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. To me, you all are my friends. And my greatest blessing at Christmas time is to go through and in our dining room, we start in our dining room door and we put up all the Christmas cards that we receive. After a while, the door gets covered, and then we start going down the steps, and they continue on down the steps and off and down to the bottom, and then sometimes we have to put them in the door down in the bottom. And to me, at Christmas, as I reflect on that, to me, that is my greatest blessing. Because every one of those cards represents to me a friend, a family member, someone who is a blessing in our life. And to me, that is the greatest treasure, is the friends and the people that God brings into our life. Friendship is a very special thing that God established for us in a way that we can have that support and encouragement that we need through the hard and difficult times of life. And this morning, there are many different, when we think of friends, there's a lot of things that come into my life, but here I just want to show several pictures. This is Kim and R's friends down in Tennessee, some friends that we got to meet and have become friends with. And last time we were down in Tennessee in April, we met up with them and enjoyed some time together, but just some of the friends that we have down there. But when I think of friends, there are some famous friends that you all are aware of, like this group of guys. Famous friends that hung out together out at Arnold's and Happy Days. And you think of the four of them were always together. They were great friends. They went through a lot together. Of course, everybody knows this pair of friends, Andy and Barney. And how many times did Andy have to bail Barney out of something, some mess up that he would have? But Andy and his friendship would always cover for him and always make his friend look good. That's part of what friends do. Then, of course, there's this group of friends, the McMertzes and Ricardos, and a lot of adventures that they had together in their friendship. And they treasured over, and that they celebrate. And those friends are known. But you think of all the friends in your life that God has brought into you that we can share in this morning. And you all are our friends as well. But as great as friends are and to have in our life, the greatest friend we can ever have is Jesus. He is the best friend. And he is the friend that sticks closer to a brother to us. He is a friend that will not forsake us. And having him as a friend is the best friend we can have and the most important friend that we need. And Jesus called his disciples together, his friends, in a room and shared with them how to be a friend of God, to have Jesus walking beside us as our friend. And so are you a friend of Jesus? That's the question we want to ask this morning. Because we have all the friends in our life, but to be the friend of Christ is to have a friend that will be with us regardless. As Jesus shared in the Word of God this morning with his disciples, he shared the kinds of friends that he's looking for. And we're going to learn together from the Word of God this morning four qualities of what friendship with God means and how to be a friend of Jesus. We're going to look at the disciples, but we're all going to look at several other friends of Christ, or friends of the Lord, where the Scripture calls people friends, where God gives a designation to someone as his friend. And to be called a friend of God is to be a great blessing. So how to be a friend of Jesus? Jesus is looking for a friend who will trust him. A friend who will trust him above all else. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 23. And we see Abraham, who was known as a friend of God. In James chapter 2, verse 23, the scripture says, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called what? God's friend, or a friend of God. What was it that made Abraham a friend of God? It was that he believed God. He trusted him. Now, it wasn't easy for Abraham to trust God. If you know his story, if you go back to the book of Genesis, when he was 75, God came to him one day and said, Abraham, I want you to pack up everything. I want you to leave your house, leave your homeland, and follow me to a new country, a new land. I'll tell you when you get there. I'm not telling you now, but just follow me. I'll tell you when you get there. And leave everything behind you and set out and follow me. Now, at the age of 75, that's the age of some of us in here. Would you want to pack up everything and go somewhere you didn't know where you were going? But it says Abraham believed God, and he trusted, and he went. Even though, the scripture says, even though he didn't know where he was going. Now that takes faith. He got there, and God said, okay, Abraham, look up at the sky. See all those stars up there? Someday, you're going to have that many descendants. They're going to be so numerous, you won't even be able to count all the stars. You can't count all the descendants you're going to have. But the Bible says Abraham and Sarah were barren. They didn't have any children. And again, but it says he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he trusted. Even though it seemed impossible, how would Sarah have a child at 90? How would he conceive at that age? But they trusted and they believed. Finally, the child of the promise came. The greatest test of all in Abraham's faith. God says, okay, I want you to take your son of the promise. I want you to put him on the altar and sacrifice him to me. Now imagine if God came to you and asked you to take your child, your only child, even if you had several, but if your child, and to lay them on the altar and sacrifice, give them to God. That was a great act of faith. But Abraham trusted. And he took his only son and he put him on the altar, ready to slay him. But God said, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you trust me and love me more than anything else. So he was called the friend of God because he trusted against all odds. He trusted for God to do the impossible. He trusted God to provide for him in extraordinary ways. And that's the kind of friend God's looking for, friends. People that trust him first as Savior, but also trust him as Lord. Meaning, he is master of everything. Meaning that what he says, I will follow. Even though I don't understand it. Even though it doesn't make sense. Even though I don't know what is ahead of me. I'm going to trust it because God does. And he's down the road. And he's already been around the corner that I haven't been to yet. And so I will trust him. God is looking for a friend who will trust him. How is your faith? And your trust in him. Is there areas we still need to grow? Or have you put your faith and trust in him as Savior? That's where it begins. Yielding to his will, relying on his care, believing and trusting in his word. And that was all Abraham did, was he trusted in that promise. And he trusted in the simple word of God. And he acted on it. Second, God is looking for a friend who will know him. And here we look at Moses as an example. And turn with me back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Moses is speaking, the Lord is speaking to Moses. To put this in context, if what had just happened in chapter 32 was Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days receiving the commandments of God, speaking with him. And while he was up on the mountain, Aaron, his brother, fashioned a golden calf, and the people were worshiping a golden calf because they thought, they didn't know what happened to Moses, and they had just worshiped the golden calf. God had just brought judgment. God was ready to destroy Israel and start again. And God, Moses is intervening on behalf of the people, and the Lord speaks to him. And we get to chapter 33, verse 11. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with what? His friend. It shows the kind of relationship. And it says, then Moses would turn to the camp. It shows the kind of relationship that Moses and the Lord had. That they would talk to each other face to face, intimacy. God is looking for a friend who will know him. That means not just having a personal relationship with him and knowing him as Savior and Lord, that's where it begins, but knowing him intimately. And to know him intimately means to talk with him, to spend time with him, to spend time in his presence. No, Moses would regularly go to what was called the tent of meeting, the place where he would go and meet with God. In fact, so close it was told that he spent his time in there that when he came out, he had to put a veil over his face because the glory of God was so revealed through him that people could see that he had been with Jesus, he had been with the Lord, and his presence was just emanating from him. He knew the Lord so well. Paul said, the desires of his life is that I want to know him. I want to know the Lord, and I want to know him more deeply. He said, not that I've done this yet, but he said, I press on to know Jesus better. To know Christ means we got to spend time with him. It means we got to, that time of simple communication, that day-to-day says talking with him face-to-face. You know, and so often we get caught up with prayer, and Satan likes to make prayer more difficult than it really is. But prayer is just simply talking to God face to face, as we talk to any friend. And as you would talk to your friend, God wants you to talk to him in the same way and to have that same kind of sweet relationship ongoing with him. A day-to-day communication of talking with him, of knowing him more deeply. A passionate relationship and a personal relationship. But God is also looking for a friend who will love him. Here we go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And here the scripture talking about David. It says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. And he testified concerning him that I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And he will do everything that I want him to do. David had the kind of relationship that God described him as a man after his very own heart. That described the kind of passionate love that David had for the Lord. That he loved the Lord deeply, and much of the book of Psalms was written by David out of his passionate love relationship he had for the Lord and how well he loved him and knew him. He was a man of deep passion. He had a heart that sought after the Lord, and even just like us, and that's why I love David's life, is that he loved the Lord deeply, but yet he still fell into sin, and there's times that we still fall into sin. But yet God restored him as David came back and as he confessed, because he knew he wanted that heart and he wanted to be a place of that closeness to the Lord. He had that fondness and that affection for the Lord above all else. And that's what God is looking for from us, that we love him deeply with our whole heart, with our whole mind, not just part, but entirely, and giving it to him. a heart that yearns after God. As the psalmist, as David wrote, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my heart yearns for you, O God. And that's the kind of love relationship that David had. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants from his friends, those that are seek after his own heart. And the Lord is looking for a friend who will obey him. Which brings us to John 15. And Jesus, as he was speaking to his disciples, said, I don't longer call you servants anymore, but I call you friends. And he said, you are my friend, in verse 14, what? You are my friend if, what does it say? You do what I command. You are my friend if we walk in obedience. And so God is looking from his friends that we walk in obedience to him. That we live a life of faithfulness and obedience to his word and his truth that he taught us. And what does it mean to obey the Lord? Well, it means to follow him faithfully. Jesus is the shepherd and we're to be his sheep. And sometimes, like sheep, we like to go astray and we wander our own way. Doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love us. He still does, but he has to go there and bring us back, and he has to corral us, put that hook on, and, you know, pull us back again because we've gotten off the path. But God wants us to obey him, to follow willingly as the sheep. And that means to listen to his voice, to follow where he leads, and walking in obedience. What does it mean to walk in obedience? Well, let's look at the last verse. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And verse 17 says, this is my command. What is it? To love each other. And that's his command. And God's commands, he said, are not burdensome. They're simply rolled down to two. Loving him with our whole heart and loving each other. But you know, they're easy to say, but it's awful hard to do, isn't it? It's awful hard to love sometimes those people that irritate us. And it's awful hard to love those people that frustrate us. But you know, God puts sometimes those people in our life in order to teach us how to love more. He puts those people in our life sometimes in order to help us to learn how to become like Jesus. Because you take an oyster, and what makes a pearl is in that oyster, it gets irritated by sand. And that sand is an irritant. It causes that irritation to that pearl, to that oyster, and so it puts mother of pearl around it, and eventually it makes a beautiful pearl. But it's the irritation that makes the pearl. It's those people in our life that are hard to love, those ones that we have a hard time forgiving, that God uses to refine us and teach us what it really means to love. Teaches us what it really means to obey him fully. And shows us how to truly be his friend. God is looking for a friend who will trust him, who will know him, who will love him, and who will obey him. So the question is this morning, are you a friend of Jesus? Are you trusting him? Have you trusted him as Lord and Savior? Are you trusting him for your day-to-day life? Are you trusting him where he leads you? And what he provides. Are you seeking to know him? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? Do you seeking to know him better? Do you love him? Do you love him as much as you should? Or have, like the church of Ephesus, we lost our first love and fallen out of love with Christ, and we need to have that rekindled again? And do you obey him? Or do we walk our own way and put our will over his? Greater love is no one than this, than a man lay down for his friends. And Jesus said, I call you my friends, not servants, but friends. And you are my friend if you do what I have commanded you. So yes, we thank the Lord for the friends in our life that he blesses us with, but the greatest friend is Jesus. And he has taught us in his word this morning how to be a friend of Christ. Are you his friend? If not this morning, he gives us that opportunity to respond to him. To ask him into our life, to put our faith and trust in him, to know him more deeply and more passionately. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather before you this morning. And I pray for each one here. And if there's someone here this morning that has not put their faith and trust in you and does not know you in a personal way, I pray that today they would become your friend because you want us all to be your friend. And Lord, that today would be a day of decision. That simply at this moment, right where they are, just simply say, Lord, I realize that I have gone my own way. I'm a sinner. I have messed up my life. And I thank you that you have come to die for me. I thank you that you rose again and have given me life. I trust you and you alone. Father, I commit my life to you. Come into my life and be my friend. And Lord, help me to live for you and to follow you from this day forward. Lord, if there anyone prayed that prayer this morning, Lord, they have just become your friend. And we celebrate that decision. And Father, for those of us that already know you, Lord, our prayer and challenge before you again this morning is that we would love you more deeply. That if we have lost our first love, Lord, that we would rekindle that. Lord, that we would obey you and not our own way. And Lord, we would seek to follow you. So Lord, help us and thank you that you have called us friends. And Lord, we walk before you this morning thanking you for that relationship we can have through Jesus. For there is no greater friend. You are the one who sticks closer than a brother. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Dan, as you were sharing the word of God this morning, I'm thinking, oh man, friendship. Need to be like Abraham and Moses and David and the disciples all together. Any one of those, but all four. And then I thought, you know, the Lord takes me just as I am. And by his grace, he'd make me like Ralph should be. So don't be overwhelmed by the word of God or the examples that would be given. But reach to him. And by his grace, he'll make you the man, the woman, the child that brings him honor and glory and that walks in faithfulness. If you'd like to respond yet even further this morning as we would sing this hymn of commitment number 70, I Found a Friend. You might come forward. We'd love to pray with you, to counsel with you, to talk about what some next steps. If you come with an individual as a friend today, I invite them to come with you, that together we might further that journey to his glory. Stand with me, please. The hymn number is 70, I Have.